My name is Elena Ripple, Public History graduate student at IUPUI. Today is July 21st, 2014. Today, I have the privilege to be interviewing Ms. Brenda McAtee in a conference room in Kavanaugh Hall on the IUPUI campus. This interview is part of a larger oral history project titled Voices from Indianapolis Waterways. The purpose of this project is to better understand the changing role of waterways such as the White River, Pleasant Run, Fall Creek, Hogue's Run, and Eagle Creek in Indianapolis. Excerpts of some of these interviews may also be used as part of a public art installation by Mary Miss, a New York City-based artist. Principal investigators for this project are Philip Scarpino, Director of Public History at IUPUI, and Jason Kelly, Director, IUPUI Arts and Humanities Institute. Funding comes from the IUPUI Chancellor's Office, the Arts and Humanities Institute, and the Public History Program. I am interviewing Ms. McAtee because she is an active resident of a neighborhood near Pleasant Run and because she is president of the Norwood Neighborhood Association. Norwood Place neighborhood is on the southeast side of Indianapolis near Pleasant Run. It is bounded by Prospect Street to the north, Terrace to the south, Sherman on the east, and Vandeman on the west. All right, Ms. McAtee, I would like to ask your permission to do the following. Record this interview, deposit the interview in the IUPUI Special Collections and Archives, and Arts and Humanities Institute for the use of their patrons, including possible posting of this interview or parts of this interview to their websites, and use parts of the recording in the public art project being carried out by Mary Miss concerning Indianapolis waterways. Do we have your permission to do these things?
Yes, you may.
All right, thanks. Well, we're just gonna start with a few easy questions. So when and where were you born?
Okay, I was born in Lebanon, Kentucky, and I was born on May 21st, 1952.
And did you also grow up?
I grew up in Lebanon, Kentucky. I moved here at the age of 17, mm-hmm. and I've been here ever since.
Okay, and just to learn more about your neighborhood, so when did you move to Norwood itself?
I have been in Norwood ever since I moved from Kentucky. That's the only side of town I have lived on.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so was it your parents' choice to move there then?
No, it wasn't my parents' choice, it was my choice.
Okay.
I had a boyfriend up mm-hmm. here, and I decided to move up here, and we later got married, and so we've been married 43 years, and so.
And what is your husband's name?
Chester Lee McAtee, Jr.
All right, and I know you have several children.
I have three children mm-hmm. and three three children that my husband has. Mm-hmm. So I have six children.
Okay.
And one adopted child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And just for viewers in the future, so how close to downtown is Norwood?
Norwood is, you can, in a car, you can get to downtown within 10 minutes.
Okay.
Very close.
Yeah, mm-hmm. good location. And what drew you to that particular neighborhood?
Well, when I came up here, my boyfriend was already up here with his mm-hmm. brother, and they lived on the south side. So that's where we stayed, and I never moved anywhere else. So just been on the south side all mm-hmm. my life. So.
And what was the neighborhood like when you moved there?
It was sort of clean, I guess. When I moved there, older people, not as many kids as we have now, mm-hmm. not half as many kids as we have now, but it was sort of what like a family community, mm-hmm. you know, everybody seemed to know everybody. And
since you said there are a lot of kids today, would you say that today it's more of a family?
Today I would say it's more of a family orientated and with many kids, many, mm-hmm. many kids. We have over 100 kids in our neighborhood. And it's more of a real quiet neighborhood. We have had officers come to our community meeting, which is the third Tuesday of every month, and they tell us how quiet it is, our neighborhood. And we've had the health department come out and talk about, you know, how clean it is, you know, so they don't have any trouble mm-hmm. over there. So it is such a family orientated that the people that did move away some time ago, they're coming back. I have three or four families that moved away for about 20 years. Now they decide to move back to the neighborhood.
Do you know why they had moved away?
Well, no, I guess it was quiet, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know, they just moved away because it was too quiet or, mm-hmm. you know, they wanted to do other things. But as they got older, they decided we need to go back home. Mm-hmm. So that's what they call home. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, this oral history project is about Indianapolis waterways, and we are interviewing you partially because you live in a neighborhood close to Pleasant Run. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to start just by talking some about Pleasant Run, and then we can move on to your other community.
Okay,
work.
Okay.
So when I talked with you last week, you mentioned that you never noticed Pleasant Run until last year. However, you mentioned that people who had grown up in Norwood had talked about it some. So what sort of things had you heard about?
Well, they was telling me that, you know, because I just worked mm-hmm. and worked. So they was telling me that there was I need to go down there because I always see kids over there mm-hmm. messing around. I'm like, what are they doing over there? Over in there with all that dirt and bush and everything. And then they got to talking about it's a waterway down there and it's one in our neighborhood. And I'm like, no way. And so they just kept, you know, telling me different stuff that they knew of the older people. Mm-hmm. And I started looking into it and yeah, it is. And now you can see that it was a waterway and looked like mm-hmm. a walk, you know, a trail or something. They cleaned it out mm-hmm. somewhat, so.
And how did it look before? Why did you never notice
it? I never knew it because it had plenty of weeds and dirt and mm-hmm. just like a field. Mm-hmm. You know, you never knew that it was even over there. Mm-hmm. And when you just go, you know, go under the bridge and it just looked like nothing. And I'm like, okay. But they kept telling me it was one over there. My husband worked over that way, you know, but it just looked like a lot of trees and bushes, and so I never did go over there. Mm-hmm. But then I look over there and see what's all going on, and then I see the trail, and so it's coming along.
And you said it looks cleaner today than it had in the past.
Oh, yes.
Do you have any ideas why it was just sort of left overgrown?
Probably it was just nobody just cared about it, you know, mm-hmm. and I myself, I never knew about it because the only thing I did was go to work. I would pass it and come back, so I never really paid much attention mm-hmm. to it till 2006. Then when I started looking at the neighborhood itself, you know, and then I started paying attention to a lot of the other stuff and the mm-hmm. surrounding that surround us, so.
Do you think that a lot of your neighbors also hadn't really noticed the creek?
Well, probably the younger ones haven't noticed the creek. They probably notice it now because mm-hmm. it's beginning to look pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the older ones, they knew about, you know, they told me mm-hmm. there's a creek down there and it's overgrown and, you know, and I'm like, no way. You know, there's creek, there's a steps that go up and I'm like, where? Mm-hmm. So they knew about it. And like I said, and they also know that it's a creek in our neighborhood. I don't know if it's hooked into the water, you know, but so that's how I find out about mm-hmm. a lot of stuff, you know, by the older ones telling me mm-hmm. some of the stuff, and then I go and look at it and see, you know, if this is what really is and stuff, so.
And when your children, you're young, what decade would that have been when they were?
Oh, when my kids was young? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, right now they're 40.
Okay.
So. So. We'll say in the 80s, maybe 80s, 85 or something.
Since you mentioned that kids played there, I was wondering if you think they ever...
Well, it wasn't my kids. It was the older ones telling me about their kids and about them playing there, you know. And because I'm like, what is this thing doing here? And they like, yeah, we played there. I'm like, really? So it wasn't my kids. It was the older people, and they said they even swam in it. So I'm like, So I don't know, but...
I guess today you don't really see kids there.
No, I don't see them messing in it or not. They look at it, but I don't see them swimming in it or, you know, getting down in there. So
what is your experience with Pleasant Run today, now that you've said that you've noticed it and...
Well, my experience with Pleasant Run, I look at it and then I like the way it looks. I like the way it looks. It looks homely. It looks that you can walk it and, you know, see, look over and see some kind of beauty out of it besides just looking at bushes and trees and stuff. So you can really just walk and you know, and when it gets done, you can see more sceneries and pretty stuff, you know. Making the neighborhood look beautiful and, you know, beautification and infrastructure, fixing everything up, and it make you want to be there, make you want to live there longer, you know, than we have, because we know, hey, somebody cared, somebody is getting this stuff done. So that's why we fight so hard to make it happen, you know, and we work with KIB to keep things best we can. So, yep.
And since you do say that it's part of beautification, do you think that in the future, if efforts continue to clean up Pleasant Run, that it could strengthen your neighborhood?
Yes, I really do. I think it could strengthen it a lot. With that getting done and other stuff getting done through the neighborhood, I think that could really be a beautiful place to come and sightsee.
And there's an organization called Reconnecting Our Waterways, known as RO, who is trying to improve some waterways, including Pleasant Run, and they've been doing some work around that area.
Correct.
So I, for the record, I would just describe RO as it describes itself as a grassroots initiative designed to provide opportunities for physical, human, and economic development. It's about helping neighbors strengthen waterways, and in turn, helping waterways strengthen neighborhoods. So, based on your work with different community organizations, have you worked with RO before?
I have.
What?
I have went to a couple of RO's meetings, and we talked and everything, and they showed us graphs of, you know, what how it can look and everything, and you know, you get excited when you see these pictures and things saying, hey, this is the future. This is what it's going to look like. And hopefully that you're around to see it, you know. So, yeah. And for what they have that they want to do, it's going to improve the neighborhoods a lot. It's going to really build it up.
Could you say any more about what they are planning right now?
They're planning, last meeting I went to, they was talking about cleaning it all out and making it, you know, pretty, and then maybe even go across to the Citizen Coke Company around the trail, the Pleasant One Trail and everything, and making it go different ways all the way out to Garfield, I think. I think it's something like that. So, you know, it's very exciting where people maybe... some of the people that younger people might park their cars and ride their bicycles and just walk, you know, if they see something that they want to see, that it's like the culture trail downtown, you know, if they see beautification like that and everything, they would want to park, leave their cars parked and walk, you know, just to show, you know, what has changed. So I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. And when you say that people would park their cars and walk. So how has that a change from today?
Well, today, I mean, they ride past, but they don't park their cars.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they look at it and everything, but I'm thinking the more they see of the beautification and see what's going on and see how nice it is, that they would want to walk there. They want to walk just to see, and you know, and that come with exercise. If they started walking, they come with exercise, and that's what we need in this world. I mean, people doing a lot of exercise. So get out of the cars and walk or ride bikes. Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah, it seems like one thing leads to the next.
Yes, yes, but you know, right now I see people more so now in the neighborhood riding bikes. I have seen them riding bikes more. Some walking, but not enough. You know, and it would be nice for our community, because we have a lot of kids, and with the programs and the places we have, that'll be something nice to take them and let them walk and see what, you know, what all is entailed and what their future is going to look like if they stay focused, you know. So it'll do a lot of improving. It'll make a lot of quality of life, you know, for people. So they just got to just keep focusing on it and make it happen. And once it starts, some people do, then the other ones fall in. You know how they do. One fall in and tell them about it, the next one. And then when they see it, they're curious like the cat. I want to see what this about, you know. And so they'll just start it going, you know. So I'm looking forward to all the changes.
Yeah, it sounds exciting.
Yeah, I am looking forward to all the changes, because I know it's going to make it much better for our southeast side. And, you know, our south side will be, I mean, Fountain Square, not only Fountain Square, but on up from Fountain Square. You know, we need to not beautify one place and just leave it, because that's just like you're trying to impress. Where if you take and beautify everything and make it, you know, on up from that whole side, it's that, hey, they care. They're making it better all the way around and not just one spot. So,
and are you referring, when you say and they care, you referring to the government or
I'm referring to the neighbors and the ones that's cleaning out the waterway. If they make it clean everywhere, not just one little spot, you know, you can see, hey, they really care about making this. They're not putting one spot here, and this is here, and this is here. I mean, because it's like a bad apple. We have Fountain Square, then down in Weekend neighborhood, they do nothing. And then this other part for the water, Pleasant Run, they do something. Then Norwood, they do nothing. It's like hit and miss, perhaps, to say. So
you'd like to see them all working.
I just like to see the whole thing just beautiful. Just beautiful. I love beautification. I love seeing pretty stuff. I like to see a lot of art. I like to see pictures and designs and, you know, just to make it more lively besides the dirt and the gray buildings and just something you go past. You know, you're like, we deserve more. We taxpayers. So.
Well, I want to switch over a bit, going back to the past and talking about when you first began to get involved with your neighborhood. And I believe you are the founder and president of the Norwood Neighborhood Association. Is that correct?
I am the president of Norwood Neighborhood Association. But back when, in 1967, they had it, call it as neighborhood pride. So they, back when, there'd been several turnovers, but in 2000, it just went dormant. You know, nobody did anything. So 2003, I looked around and everything. And then 2006, I became the president. And then we started working on different stuff and trying to get our neighborhood cleaned up and talking to different people to see what, you know, what we could get done. And it was the funniest thing, because I never knew anything about it, but I did write plenty of letters to different people and saying, where the money, we're taxpayers too, you know, why can't we get our neighborhood But since then, the neighborhood has really came a long ways. We do a lot in the neighborhood with the kids and the elders and the youth. So it's a very active neighborhood. So it's just getting better. It's getting better. People working with each other now, and you know, it's just like a family, just like a family neighborhood. So.
And back when you first started getting involved, you had mentioned to me last week that beforehand you had never really noticed the neighborhood, and then you started noticing it more.
Right. Well, beforehand, all I did was worked. And I was working and working, and my kids, I took them to the babysitter, and I worked. And I hadn't really, really paid a lot of attention to what was really going on in the neighborhood. I would take them, I never let my kids go far, so I would have a neighbor that watched the kids, you know. So I never went a lot of places, more at home, people, and barbecued and different stuff like that. But like I said, as time went on and I got older and looking at stuff, and then looking at the neighborhood when I wasn't working, which was 2003, but 2006 is when I started getting involved, because we had a health issues of my husband, which was 2003 all the way to 2005, so, and it still is, but it's better. So 2006, it was dirty. I mean, nobody paid any attention. So that's when I started getting involved, like, we need to clean this neighborhood up, because I live here. I lived there all along, but I really just didn't, mentally, I didn't even pay any attention to it, because it, you know, it wasn't me that just in and out. But after I stopped working, I just decided, hey, it's time to clean up the neighborhood, fix up the houses, and, you know, just make it right for the kids of the future. So that's why I got involved.
And you said you wrote lots of letters.
He wrote lots of letters and got in touch with different people, went to many, many, many meetings. I also went to a leadership with Purdue Extension. They did a leadership program. I went there. I did a lot of stuff just to studying through the internet, trying to find out what's all entail. Talk to the older ones a lot in the neighborhood, because they have a lot of knowledge, and they can tell you a lot. So, and then they gave me a lot of the old papers to tell me a lot and everything of what the neighborhood was about and everything. So, and then I just started catching up of what's what. And then we went to the Congress meeting, which is over on the south side. And we got voted in as the CDC, as the South Side, which is Fountain Square. So we just keep going going. So.
And what were some of the first projects you worked on? Was there anything
specific? Our first project was our meetings. We didn't have anywhere to do a meeting, because I think the church, we had a church that was written in this building, which was the Indy Parks building, and it never opened. So we did a study circle, which was through the neighborhood, INRC. We did a study circle, and then we got money, and then we went to the Indy Park, because their contract, the church contract, was gonna be up. So we went there, and we talked to Indy Park, and they told us what all we needed and everything. So I'm on the board of directors down at Southeast Community Services. So I talked to the director down there, and it was a go. So we got the building back. What it was, the Indy Park paid all the stuff, and we maintained it and kept it up. So we've got it fixed up. 2010, Citizen Energy Group came in and did share the dream and remodeled it and everything. So then we started having everything in there. Tutoring, we had computers, we had sales, parties, just reunions. Our first reunion we had since no one had did anything was since 1984. We had our first reunion in 2010.
Mm-hmm. And this is the Norwood?
Norwood Neighborhood Association. Uh-huh.
Reunion.
Uh-huh. We had our reunion, and it was at WFYI. Mm-hmm. They filmed it, so they had it down there so we could see that. So, yeah, we have grown since 2006, mm-hmm. so for the good, for the better.
And for anyone who's never been down to the Indy Pride Park and Community Center, which is on Vandeman Street, can you just describe what's there?
Indy Park? Well, I did work there, but I don't anymore, so I can describe what was there. What's there now is...
There's a big
It's a big blue building. Big blue building. It has a kitchen in the building, and then it has a TV and a foosball table and a pool table.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But that was the place where we used to do our tutoring, our lunches, our Christmas parties, our Halloween parties. We did everything there. Mm-hmm. So. You know, things change as you go along. You find out that, you know, things just change. So,
yeah, you had told me that Indianapolis Parks had bought the site in
2013, and then things changed. We have no internet. The kids couldn't have programs there, so I did a summer program this year, free for the kids. Only thing, we just asked for donation to help supply it. Started June the 16th, I think it did, and it's ending August the 1st.
And what is the name of this?
It's called Kids Matter.
Okay.
So that's what we named it, Kids Matter. And so we have had a lot of donation. We have had... barbecues, we have had bounce houses, we've been on field trips. This is all stuff that's been donated, you know, through the community and several of the business and stuff. So we have two more weeks in which we'll have a couple barbecues, and their swimming pool consists of me using my water hose, spraying them. And so, you know, we may do. I mean, because we didn't have the money, we couldn't make do. We made our own bowling ball pins and everything, and the kids respect it more, you know, because they see now that they can take something and make it out of nothing and make it work. We had big water bottles, and we made bowling pins, and then we play bowling. They win little gifts, so they're really excited about that kind of stuff.
About how many kids are in camp?
I have 30 now, 130 of, but when the bounce house came, it was 50, which I knew it would be more, you know, so that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But a gentleman from Seymour, Indiana, had heard about us, and he said he wanted to bring a bounce house and give him a snow cone. So he rode all the way from Seymour, Indiana with two bounce houses and a snow cone and set it up for the kids, which was super nice.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, Seymour, Indiana, that's all the way to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But he did. He made that promise, and he came all the way up here and did it. So, you know, and that's what I was telling the kids. They're like, Seymour, Indiana? I said, yes. I said, because when you make a promise, keep it. Don't, you know, and if you can't keep it, then go to the person and let them know. Just don't ignore it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy about that one. So, yeah.
And just to get a bit more background about this camp, this is the first summer.
This is the first summer because we used to have all of this into the Indy Park.
Okay.
I used to be down there like from 2006 to the 13th, but I used to have all kind of programs down there for the kids, crafts, arts, just different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, after it changed, I didn't want the kids to be out on the streets, running the streets, and down there, it's no supervision. It's that they can come and go, but it wasn't anything structured for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They could just come and go, play, and that's it. Which kids nowadays need someone to sit down and kind of like give them structure, make them become, at least help them become fine citizens, make them learn respect towards people and everything. So And it's working well. So I'm proud of them.
Yeah. And it sounds like you definitely want the kids to learn things.
Yes. I want them to learn. That's why I said with the waterway, they will be excited. I can take them down there and teach them about that and let them know everything, you know, what was. And they probably tell me the same thing. We didn't know this was down mm-hmm. here, you know, so I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you're putting a lot of your own time and energy into this camp. Why is it so important to you?
I am putting a lot of time into this camp because I want these kids to know that you can have what everybody else have, and plus that somebody cares, and I'm trying to help them to learn respect and grow up to be fine citizens. And I know some of the mothers and some of the parents itself be working during the day, and they think at the age of 10 or 12 it's okay for them to run the streets till they get home from work. So if I can get these kids into a camp to let them know that there's more to just running the street, eating and walking up and down there, bouncing balls, then, you know, I've had one child. I've had a lot of success in kids. This is not the first ones. So I have had a lot of success in my kids when they was young and their friends and everything. And I had one child that I had at the center was young, and now he's in the Navy. So, you know, you just got to help these kids and let them know that they're not alone, because a lot of them are. And plus, I don't know how many of them would be eating if I didn't have the camp. You know, I don't know how many of them would be eating, really. You know, so.
And that's referring to the fact that you give them
breakfast and lunch. They get breakfast and lunch and a snack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't even want to leave. But I'm like, you got to go. You got to go home, you know. So I love the kids. And, you know, only thing I tell them is you got to give me respect. Or whoever's working with us, if you give us respect, then we'll do, you know, we'll make something happen. So, but it's like I said, we have a little funding. And so we're still claiming and praying that we get this building that we're trying to get. It's a way off, I guess. So we just have to keep working on it. It's a building that's been empty for, I know ever since I got involved, the building has nobody in it. So it's just sitting there. And it is one of the buildings that the community, when guys younger, like my age, cleaned that off to be a recreational center, but it never happened. It would Indy Park got this smaller building, and we need a large building. Mm-hmm. We have large families. Some family has 8 and 9 in their family, so we need a building that is going to educate our kids, going to learn them different things about life, like how to take care of yourself. I guess you would call it, in the olden days, you probably don't know about it, but home ec. You know, I know you heard of it, but that is what we want to teach these kids, the value of life and how to take care of themselves and do it the right way, and don't have to take this from this one, and no bullying. You know, just do give it your all and do what, you know, what you can and stuff. And we there for them. So, you know, the neighbors, the older neighbors, they are really there for the kids. They come out. It's funny because they're older, and what I'm meaning is older, I'm meaning like 80.
Okay.
And 85, you know. They are there for those kids. You know, if they see them out playing basketball, they'll look out, they'll bring popsicles out to them or stuff like that, you know. So, and everybody look out for each other's child. Everybody look out for each other's ones. And if something goes wrong, one of us getting a phone call, you know, because I have Jason, and he's deaf. I adopted him when he was 9 months, and he's turning 18 tomorrow. But everybody helped me raise Jason, and that's why I didn't leave the neighborhood. When my house got messed up, my foundation and everything, I had to live with my daughter for a couple years. But I had houses offered to me out of the neighborhood, but I never took them because I knew that nobody was going to help me take care of Jason like the community did. Mm-hmm. So.
And when was that around?
2010.
Okay.
Is when I had to move out of my house. The foundation was messed up, so we had to move out for a couple mm-hmm. of years. And then it got fixed and everything, and we moved back. But in the meanwhile, they had offered me houses from down by Marty Lamar, Weekend area. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't move because I knew Jason had to have the people that I trust around him. Mm-hmm. And so we just stayed in the neighborhood till it got fixed. And so we're still there. Mm-hmm. Still there. So not going to move, I don't think.
So you're definitely planning on building
up the neighborhood as best we can, mm-hmm. fixing up houses, beautification, mm-hmm. And all the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. We're just gonna stay and just keep working at it. And
when you say fixing houses, are there a lot of
empty houses that is mm-hmm. boarded up? A company has bought some of them, but haven't started working on them. But we have several houses that the vision and the goal is for that is fix them up and then rent them to low-income people where they can have a home mm-hmm. instead of just in and out. So right now we're trying to work on this landlord registry to make these people that has these properties that rent them out to people not to be slumlords, not to do all of the landlords, but the mm-hmm. ones that are slumlords. And if you're not a slumlord, it's not going to hurt you, you know, to do it. So hopefully to get that passed real soon. And just fix the houses up where the kids don't go inside these empty houses. And who knows? Because the health department come out and board them up. And then somebody take them unboarded. I guess they go in. And then they come back and board them up again. So for the safety of the kids, we really not have any of them in the neighborhood mm-hmm. because that way we don't have to worry about kids getting grabbed and thrown up in there or not. You know, for us, I mean, 10 to 3, like I said, Monday through Friday during the summer, I have them. But after that, you know, I can only do it so mm-hmm. long, and on the weekends I don't have them, so.
Mm-hmm. And during the school year, do you know what the kids do after school?
I did, but I don't know what they'll do this year. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was working down at the Indy Park, mm-hmm. so they all came there
okay,
where I was cool. at. But the Indy Park is still there. I don't know if they'll go down there or not, because there's a lot of something's going on down there that the kids don't want to go down there. And the woman is kind of mean to them and mean to the community. So nobody wants to go there. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know what the kids are going to do this winter. But I hope not just sit at the house and play videos and look at TV, you know. So I really don't know what they're going to do, because I don't have a building. Mm-hmm. To have them come in where I can get them tutored and on the computer, where I can teach them how to start doing their homework on the computer, and maybe on down doing resumes and mm-hmm. all of that. And I can take them to Southeast Community Services, but that, again, we don't have the funding for transportation. So mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do for the mm-hmm. winter.
And this building that you want to buy, where is that located?
It is right there in Norwood. It's one block away from the Citizen Energy Group Coke Company that just closed up on Prospect Street, mm-hmm. On the south side of the Prospect Street. It's a very large building, fence and everything, and it would make it said it would make the perfect one anyway for what the picture and everything has to share with me. So I know it would make the perfect recreation center mm-hmm. for the kids. And we have a lot of empty lot right behind it that the city owns. Mm-hmm. Hopefully to work on that, where they could get an inside gym. Yeah, the picture is drawn, so. Yeah.
And What other organizations do you work with to...
Well, right now I have talked to CIN, which is our CDC. Mm-hmm. I have talked to Southeast Community Services. I talked to our city councilman, Brian Mayheron, but... And just different, I talked to all the churches in the community, you know. They're all behind us. I talked to the community. So all of those are behind us. I talked to the mayor liaison, Lisa Loffman. She's behind us. And Marty Lamar at We Can and Marathon, Citizen Energy Group. So talked to a lot of people about this and have went to some foundations, Pullen Foundation. Mm-hmm. I went there. I am still yet to get in with the CIFI Foundation, and still talking to CIN about it, what we can do. So I know it's gonna take time, but you just gotta keep working on it, you know. So, and I guess we just keep on till we can get the building. And I talked to the owner of the building, and he said, well, I'm not gonna say yes, and I'm not gonna say no either, but we're talking money.
Okay.
So I can understand that, you know, so.
Yeah, I guess last week you stressed that patience is.
Oh yes, patience.
Appreciate.
Yeah, patience you have to have, so you can't just think it's gonna happen overnight. So that's what I tell the kids, be patient. They're like, oh, this is not gonna happen. I'm like, you have to be patient and you gotta claim it. You know, I claim it, and so it's ours. So I'm feeling it, you know, that we will have that ownership of that building and the vision of making them, they want an inside court because they deserve it. And Norwood has always been one that has, what I want to say, been left out. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got Fountain Square, and then we have Norwood down low in the middle, and then we had this place called Barrington over the hill. So there was Fountain Square, Norwood, and then Barrington. So we was down in the middle, and we got left out, like a middle child, I guess they would say sometimes.
And when you say left out, what?
I mean, they never got anything. Never got anything fixed up. Money never came that way. Okay. Money never came that way. So that's why when I first started out, I put it on there, where's the funds? It was 2006. The letter said, where's the funds? We are taxpayers too. You know, I keep every letter and everything I write. So it was just like, nothing never happened. I mean, we got sidewalks, okay, but we've been asking for sidewalks on the main street since I got involved in 2006. Mm-hmm. But there has been asked for sidewalks since 1999 of the papers I have written from the other, before I even got involved. And we still haven't got sidewalks on the main street of Prospect Street. Mm-hmm. And kids walk down that way all the time. And seniors, they try to walk their dog, but they have to let the little dog, you know, walk in front of them or close by them. So we still haven't gotten the sidewalks. And I was thinking about the Rebuild Indy too, that, you know, we have had that request in for so many years, that this was going to be the time, but I haven't seen it come across me or telling me that this is what's going to happen yet, so.
And when you think about places like Fountain Square getting a lot of money for revitalization, so how does that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel that, I'm going to keep it real with you. Make me feel like, I mean, they're getting the money. Why can't we get some of it? Because we're paying taxes just like they are. And I'm looking at it, is it because this is a urban black neighborhood or what, you know? But now it's versatile up where we live. I mean, you know, it's no black neighborhood, which they had in the book of saying that this was the African-American neighborhood. It's not that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's all, you know, all nationalities and stuff in the neighborhood now.
Do you know if that's a recent development?
This is a recent development. Okay. Yes, it is. So, and it's good because with this, they all get along. You know, there's no argument between nobody in the community. You know, unless it's a brother and sister that's fussing or something. But far as fighting each family or something, it's not like that. So, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because people that moves in that want to be what we want to call it, roughneck, we keep a close eye on them. If they squatters or something, just want to come in, we have welcome letters. Welcome letters when they come in, and we give them one.
Mm-hmm. And what do
the it says? Welcome to Norwood. We would like to greet you, and we would say this is what Norwood is all about, and what to respect, and this is what our rules are for Norwood, and we let them know no clothes hanging on the front fence, no loud music without telling your neighbor, you know, if you're gonna have a party, it's just respect. Respect is what we say. Keep your grass cut. I mean, all the things that you're supposed to do, you know. So, and we can tell squatters, you know, we can tell when people just moving from one community to the next just to, you know, tear up something. Mm-hmm. By the way, they're not keeping the yard clean or throwing this or they written in and they don't care because it's not theirs. That's why we got to go to the landlord thing, because the landlord should be accountable for who they put in these houses. Mm-hmm. So we will really fight for that.
And do you know many of the landlords personally?
I know about four or five of them, but a lot of them is not even in Indianapolis.
Oh.
A lot of them don't even live in Indianapolis.
Okay.
We have several lots that has been vacant forever. And they live in Skookie, Illinois or somewhere. And they probably don't even know anything about the lots.
Yeah.
It's probably just there, you know. Mm-hmm. They probably bought it one day and it's just there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're trying to make it accountable and everything for the ones that's renting these properties out, mm-hmm. because it's not right for the homeowners to have their yard fixed up and looking nice, and then somebody next door, because they wanted to rent it out, look like anything. It's just mm-hmm. not right, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's bringing the value down of people that own their property, because they're not going nowhere. Like the older ones, they're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just keep it fixed up. We don't care who it is moved in, long as you give people respect and don't come in rough-headed, and keep your property up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we asked. So hopefully that, you know, it'll get better with the properties getting fixed up and unboarded. So,
and for some new neighbors who come in as more long-term residents, do they get involved with the neighborhood association?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Because if we give them the letter, they'll come up and it's like, well, we like to do this, we like to do that. That's when I know, you know, they really want to do something in the neighborhood. But then some won't even come around, even if we give them the letter, you know. So you can almost tell, because the neighborhood is so small. I mean, we're not walking. We could probably walk around Fountain Square, and that'd probably be about the basis of our neighborhood. You know, so it's not a big neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, yeah, they come around, and they come and ask questions, and that's why it's good to have some kind of letter, let them know where they're living, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're not just moving into a neighborhood and you don't know anything about it. So that's why we give out the welcome letters.
And you've told me that you've listened to a lot of the really old-time residents.
Oh, yes.
Neighborhood. What are some of the main things you've learned from them that they have shared with you?
Well, the Indy Park that I was telling you about, I found out that it was a school,
mm-hmm.
but before it was a school, it was a restaurant. I'm like, what? So the Indy Park was a restaurant first, where they partied, and then it turned into be a school. And then after that, Indy Park, they took it as a park, and then it was sitting there for a while, and then the church had it, and it was dirty and didn't do nothing, and then we got involved, and it has really been a very active building, you know, to now. You know, now it's just there if you want to come in, but The older people be telling me stuff like I said, the water thing down there in the little bridge part down in the neighborhood I never knew was there. They be telling me all kind of stuff about what they used to do in the neighborhood and the little churches that was there that has now changed into big churches, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just very interesting to sit back and listen to them. I'm like, really? And then they give me a lot of old paperwork that I read over, and I'm like, really? But I know they've been asking for sidewalks since 1999. Yep.
So it sounds...
And you know, we worked with AARP a couple years ago, hoping that we could get sidewalks through mm-hmm. through that because we had them working with us. So it's still a happen, but it just haven't happened yet. Mm-hmm. You know, and while the money's there now, you know, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so, but it'll work out. Just, like I said again, patient.
Uh-huh.
Don't try to rush it because once you get it, it's there. But don't try to push something in and you know, and it falls. So, yeah, it'll work out.
So. You have mentioned that you have a lot of work you're still doing in the future, including getting the community building. Are there any other projects or ideas you have?
Well, we do. We have ideas of, that's the large one right uh-huh. there. That's to get that. We'll have another cleanup before the winter come through. We're having a, and then we have different organization comes and we'll do little stuff like we have, New Hope Baptist Church is coming to do a little caring today, sharing for the caring or something like that. Anyway, they're coming out and they'll do a cookout and different stuff for that September the 25th, and then we're just gonna clean up the neighborhood, go around, give me more time to go around the neighborhood and work with the health department. To see what we can do. One of the visions that had came to our head was maybe we can get, they was talking about flipping these houses for a dollar or something. I heard about that. Maybe we can talk to the city and get these houses, get someone fix them up, and then rent them out to people that, you know, that really wants a home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can get a house, but you gotta make it a home, so. And by us building it, we can't make it a home, but if you're in the neighborhood, I'm proud of our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of it because people get along, you know, and that's a big plus for me.
Mm-hmm.
But with all the crime going on and everything, that makes me feel better than anything. I mean, I know we want all this other stuff, but with the crime low like it is now, it really, you know, really, I've been there for... maybe 40, 50 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I only know of two killings in all that time. In all that time. So, you know, I'm proud of it, but you know, won't bring no trouble there, but
and you've talked about how Norwood is like a home to you. So what when you think of a home, what sort of
when I think of a home, it's like people around, children around, eating, playing, being happy, being clean. The kids are being clean and well taken care of. Kids are, you know, are learning stuff besides sitting in the, under the computer. You're doing stuff with your kids. You're taking them different places because there's a lot of places they can go to see besides playing the computer and looking at TV. It's just that movie night with your family, your whole family, barbecues. And it's just like people are taking care of their kids and teaching them, not letting them say and do and on the telephones at 7 and 8 on the cell phones. And you know, let's put it this way, the olden days, the good olden days when parents took care of their kids and made them respect other people and elders and let them be kids, Let them be kids as long as they can be, you know. Not trying to grow them up and give them cell phones and diamond rings and all of that stuff. It's not that way for kids. I was very protected with my kids. My kids couldn't go out unless I went out. But it doesn't work that way. So I'm trying to go with the change, you know, because it has changed.
Yeah.
People let their kids do. And but, you know, they laugh and they says, "Oh, you so old-fashioned." But those kids come to my camp. And the reason why I think they come to my camp, because you show that you care. And they like the old-fashioned way. I think they like the old-fashioned way with telling what not to do and what to do and what's wrong and what's right. That's all they want, is somebody to give them some attention and letting them know that somebody's out there caring. You know, they know the parents love them, some of them, you know. But do anybody care what they do, you know? Or shall I walk the street and think of nothing of it? So, yeah, I think the old-fashioned way should come back to me. You know, I think it should.
Yeah.
You know, where you discipline your kids. You don't let your kids stand up and say everything to you. That's not right. So, in my camp, we don't have that. We have each other respect, the kids respecting each other. We don't have bullying. We have no name calls.
And did you, do you think that you have the respect of the children too?
I have respect of the children and of the community, which is good, because now I can work with them easier. You know, I mean, everybody probably don't like me in the neighborhood, but they respect me, you know, because they know I'm only wanting the best. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, and then there's a throw all these for different other stuff if you need them, you know. But I've gotten people now, instead of calling me first, they will call the authorities or whatever they need to do, and then they'll let me know about it. At first, they would call me for me to call downtown. I'm like, no, you do it, you know. Some of them say, well, I don't want them to know I call. So now they have got comfortable where they do call, you know, if something's not right. So it's getting much better, much easier for me. First it was very hard, you know, because first thing people say, you're going to bring our taxes up, you know, if you fix the house up, da da da. But now they're wanting this. They're wanting it fixed up. So
it just took a matter of
just
time.
Took time. Yes. Patient.
So what would you like to see in Norwood, if you look 10 years ahead, if you have a vision?
What I would like to see if I look 10 years ahead in Norwood, even further, I would like to see every house really fixed up, with beautification, cleanness. I would like for our recreational center to be big and built up with an inside park, an educational center, and all of that. I would like for the streets to be clean and the kids getting along and they are clean, not running around with no shoes on and different stuff and like nobody care about them. And I would love to see the seniors have a lot of outing, so they can stay in their house. I would love to see the seniors stay. They are seniors that is 80 and 90 that's still in their house. So that is good if their house is fixed up where they can stay in it. And the kids, as they get older, respect them enough to go make sure they're okay, which they do. They check on them. They'll say something to them, you know. But it's just a small community that it shouldn't even have one house that is boarded up. It should be just a cute little, what we want to say, village. It should be really neat and everything. So, and that's why I said the landlords have to come on and work with us, you know, or they'll be against us. So, because we got to make this community fixed up where people, when they walk, drive past and say, I want to ride through that community. I want to ride through that neighborhood and see what it's all about. You know.
And thinking again back to Pleasant Run, how does that fit in?
Along with that, if they keep fixing it up and making that beautiful and coming on that way, that would be a big plus where it would bring up the value of the houses.
And do you think that a clean waterway fits in with a nice clean and strong
community? Yes, a clean waterway would be awesome because you can walk and look down and see that, look at this, you know. And this is the cleanness. And it, as you go and keep seeing cleanness and beautification, you feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. And you get high self-esteem. And then that's a good quality of life because you be want to do something. So that would make these kids want to do something and whoever else is in the neighborhood. And that way, that'll make our world a better place, mm-hmm. with lower crimes. Mm-hmm. So that's what I see. Maybe you say it's a fantasy, but I can see that happening. You know, I can see that happening because you have to want it. You know, and I know that I couldn't change it just by myself. But with the community wanting it also, we can do it. We can do it.
So you see your role in this as part of a larger movement, and you're helping to lead the way.
Lead the way, and I don't want to lead the way. I want to be, well, I will get them the resources, but I want them to work with me. I don't want to think I'm in front as a so-called president, because I am a working president. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to think, well, you know, you would always need someone to go to help get the resources and different mm-hmm. stuff. But I want to let them know, I work just like you work, you know. Don't think I have to do all the paperwork and everything and not work, because I like getting involved too. I like working with a group and doing different stuff. So I don't want to be put out by me being the president like, well, she don't have to. No, that's my joy, is working and volunteering and doing different stuff. So, you know, I volunteer a lot, like keeping it beautiful and all of that. I volunteer Salvation Army because that's what I get joy out of. Uh-huh. So, you know, I don't want them, I know when some of them said, well, you don't need to be doing this. Yes, I do. This is part of me. Mm-hmm. You know, this is part of me. I mean, I can be the leader if that's per se what you want, but I want all of us to be as one and work towards our goal together, not this is what I want, this is what, you know, this should be. No, we all need to agree on what we want for the community. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not always going to be able to run the community. So I'm hoping in the future I can find someone that can take over this project of making the community beautiful or whatever and go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll see.
Yeah.
And we'll see. When I say I'm giving it, look, I'm through with it. They're like, oh no, because when I stopped working at Indy Park, everybody would come to my house like, you mean you're not gonna do us anymore? You mean you're not gonna take care? You're not gonna be the president? I said, no, that's not what it is. You know, they thought I just gave up on them. You know, they said, oh, you got a better job, so you don't want to be bothered with us no more. I'm like, no, that is not the reason. You know, I just had to move myself. Because if you're not working together, then you need to just remove yourself, you know, and do something else. So so they finally understood that. But at first they did not. I mean, I had a lot of people would come to me and tell me, well, why you don't want to be involved in the neighborhood anymore, you know. And I had to explain it to them, you know, it's not that way. It's just that I needed to have moved forward.
Mm-hmm. And just for the reference of listeners, that this is in regards to the Indy Pride Park.
Right. So, yeah. So we're moving forward, doing a lot, but eventually we would have Indy Park back also, because it's not my decision to let Indy Park just stay as it is because of the community. They, the older ones that have gotten married in there, did different stuff in there, has a lot of memories in that building We also need that building back. Per se for community meetings or meetings from whoever, you know, because it'll be open to the public. But we need that back for that reason, the old memories of these older people. And it can be used because there's a lot of places where people need to be meeting and everything. Mm-hmm. But our big building would be for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're working on that building back too.
Okay.
We're not just saying, hey, this building go on and we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that way. We want both of them.
Okay.
We're claiming both of them.
Yeah. And I'm curious, when you talk about memories of the past, why is that important for you to have these memories?
Well, presented? Because I care about the older people. And I've been around them, like I said, for 50 years, you know. And it really, really breaks my heart to know that they have so many memories of this building. And it's just taken away, just like in a matter of months, you know. And they tell me what things has happened. I'm like, oh no, you know. And they know a lot from 2006 to now what has happened. You know, they enjoyed every bit of it. The seniors used to not even come out too much. Now they are out all the time. They come down to the park. They used to come to the park, and we had second happens. They all would come, and my daughter would volunteer to feed them, and I would, you know, help my daughter. So we would feed them and everything and sit around and socialize. And it's just not that way anymore. You can't, if you're there over 2 hours, it's called a rental, per se, where you should be able to go to the park and sit and talk as long as you want. Like you and I are talking now, you should be able to come to a public building and sit down and talk.
Yeah.
It's not that way. So, but that, you know, I mean, it's okay, but it's not okay. It's okay with me, but it's not okay because of the people in the community that has the memories, and it really do upset the older people. And I was always said, give respect to older people, you know, and you know, the respect wasn't there for them when they did go in. And I don't know. We just need it back for that sake. I mean, to sit and they would sit, do Bible lessons and talk and stuff. All of it got cut out, so.
Sounds like you were definitely working to.
We was really working. It did change. It did. It was so nice. We did everything in that building. It was small, but we did everything. We had big Halloween parties and Christmas parties. We don't have them anymore. We couldn't have one after 40 years of a Halloween party, and then it's just none. Oh, the neighborhood was very upset, and they're like, can't you do, you know, and I said, well, it takes time, and you got to go talk to people, but you just don't. Sure, I could have, you know, went and told this and told that, but it was better when the community started noticing their self what's going on.
And it sounds like from that, what you said about the whole community being upset, that people do really care.
They care. They really care. Matter of fact, they care so much because I said something about the reunion that we're not going to have in Norwood this year. For reasons. They said the community said they were still going to have it. It might not be there, but they're going to still have it. Mm-hmm. So we're still doing stuff, but we're not behind the building. Mm-hmm. We're not inside. The church where we live, they do stuff. They have a great big lot. So they do stuff also. And I have a big lot, so I do stuff. So we're really still doing, but we're just not doing inside the building like we used to. And we had people that would come in and work with us. You know, I mean, Southeast Community Service have a youth program and a senior. They would come to our building, and we would work together. I had tutors that would come and teach the kids, you know, where we had a summer program. The last winter program we had fed them dinner. Then we had a teacher that came and did the tutoring. the teacher would come and they would sit down and do their homework. What they didn't understand, after dinner, the tutor would come in. And then we had Zumba classes. Mm-hmm. We had line dancing. We had all of that in there. It was just a very active building. Lots of people came in for nobody to come in now. You know, it's like, and people go down there and they will come up and say, well, nobody's at the center. I'm like, well.
Does that make you, or how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel sad because I know that the center building with the Citizen Energy Group that came in and shared the dream and put new windows, painted the building, put carpet, put furniture and everything in there. We had computers with internet and everything. It's nothing now, you know. So I'm like, from all this work till we're going backwards, you know. So it's kind of sad that for much work that so many people has helped at Norwood and put in, it's going backwards. IU have furnished us the computers, and we are self-paid. Norwood paid for the internet and cable, and all of it got taken away. So the people in the neighborhood couldn't do resumes because of the time change. So it's just been a bad experience. But as I say, when God take one thing away from you, he gives you three times more. Mm-hmm. So we're patient. Mm-hmm. We are patient, and we just have to wait, you know.
And it sounds like you definitely still have plans.
Yes, and we will always have plans. Mm-hmm. We'll work around the building till we get the building back. Mm-hmm. We will keep on doing what we're doing. We're not giving up because of one building. Because if one building stopped the community, then we didn't have nothing anyway. So one building is not going to stop us from doing what we're doing. So, matter of fact, we have been doing much more since we got out of the building because we're out in the opening where people see us.
And why is it important for you to be out in the open?
Well, you know, a lot of people probably didn't know what we was doing inside the building. We was doing a lot, unless we have a yard sales or something and advertise. But now that people see what we're doing, like the kids do lemonade day and just different little stuff we do, they see this, you know, and they say, what, you know, what's going on over there, you know. And some of them come up, like Channel 8 came up and videoed us. They seen what we was doing, so they came over and did a video. So we had donations behind that, you know. So sometimes it's best to be out in the open. You can't be around four walls all the time because you never go outside the wall. So it's nice. It's nice. I mean, I'm more relaxed and comfortable with the community now because it's easier, because everybody know me, you know, that's not new, and they know what I respect, I expect, and I know what they expect from me, of helping them out when they have problems, giving them the resources that I do, you know, so they can take care of their problem. So, and I'm an advocate for them, a divorce and everything. So we all get along, you know. So
well, learned a lot today. I wanted to start wrapping it up and just ask if there's anything else that you'd like to address or talk about that you haven't yet,
well,
or didn't ask about.
Well, no, I know that Fountain Square has really grown, and Southeast Community Service and Norwood is a partner, very close partner. And so we have a lot of, I'm on the board of directors too down there, but we still are close partners behind that. And so we're going to work on Norwood.
Okay.
And so I do have people that wants to help make it happen. So that's a good thing.
Okay. And what sort of work do you do with Southeast Community Services?
I'm on the board of directors down there. We make decisions and vote on different stuff for the staff and everything. So it's pretty nice. So you know, let us know where we stand about the building and what's going to happen and everything. So, and it's a working family, called working family down there. So we give out resources. I can bring it back to our community and let them know what's going on and stuff.
So Southeast Community Services provides resources.
Right, of different stuff. So we can, you know, and we can also go down there and use their internet and stuff. But like, again, I said, it's the transportation part. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't have to do that. When we have buildings in our neighborhood that could benefit that, we shouldn't have to go somewhere else when we have our own buildings. So, So I and the board of Mines and other people will be working on making this stuff happen, you know, along with the community. Once we get it set in stone, I guess you would say, okay, we got the building and stuff, I know that all the community people will get totally involved or working on this building. And I know people that do construction work and stuff. And so I can see it happening. I can see it happening. I just can't wait till it happen, but now I got to be patient. So.
Was there anything else?
Well, no, nothing else. That I'm just proud of the community of Norwood Neighborhood Association. I'm proud of the people, and we're blessed people that we don't have a high crime in our neighborhood. I'm thinking a lot of people are probably finding out that we don't, you know. And I hope when they come, they're coming to be a part of the family and not of the problem, you know, of a problem. So, and if so, then we can work on that of getting them out, because we have good contact and relationship with the police department on the southeast side. So they come to our community meetings, they ride around, and so we have good community with them. So, yeah, so.
It sounds like your community is pretty united. So
it is, it is. It is, yeah. If it's a problem that anyone in the community have, and if someone in the neighborhood can help them with it, or, you know, something that's happened, we're there for them, we're there for them. So, you know, we don't want them to think they're alone because this happened. It's just, you know, some things have happened and everything. So, yeah. And I know, I bet if you talk to several people in the neighborhood, they would tell you the same thing. And older people that has moved out of the neighborhood, like my secretary, she has moved out of the neighborhood because, not for her, not because she wanted to, but her house burned down. So she had to move. So she would tell you a lot about the neighborhood too. So.
Well, we're looking forward to talking with a few other residents.
Yes, yes, and I hope that you might be able to get there one day, out to the neighborhood in the future.
Yeah,
so
me too.
We'll work on that too.
All right, well, thank you so much for talking with
me
today.
Well, thank you for having me. I love talking about the community.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I love talking about the community. I love to talk about the good things that goes on in the world, you know. And there's a lot of good stuff going in the world, you know, and starting with the crime. So hopefully we can keep the crime out, you know, so.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.